podcast, Cortez Pollitz here. Kevin Card over Skype. Kevin, how's it going this afternoon, sir?
It's going good. Of course, it's football weekend, so, you know, that ain't well. But the older I get, the easier it is to get over them. So, it was pretty easy. Now you can give me a day and I'm good to go. Like, if you would have tried to do this, yesterday, I'd have cussed you out. But today, nah, I'm good.
Hey, man, that's what I tell you, man. It's always an experience when it comes to opening week of football, and we had a great we didn't have a great Thursday game. It was great for a half, and then it just was an onslaught.
I told you, it's that Thursday game. Yeah. What did I say? Damn Thursday games.
And yeah, what Kevin tweeted me, he was like, those damn Thursday games. I said,
damn Thursday games.
So, Kevin, the Buffalo Bills look for real, man. What's your thoughts about that opening statement there with them? No, I know we're not trying to jump the gun with week one, but what's your thoughts, sir? Sorry to interrupt you.
It's not even just from week one. It's from last year to going into this year. It's a cumulative of like 3 years of Josh Allen getting better. That's the big takeaway you get from Buffalo is Josh Allen has proceeded, because no one thought Josh Allen was going to be what he is right now. Nobody.
Yep.
He got drafted. People were like, well, why are they drafting this guy? This guy ain't going to be nothing, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he's turned into one of the top quarterbacks in the league, maybe even top three right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's that progression is what made Buffalo just scary. And the things he does, like, you can see him gain even more and more confidence now in his game, even if it was just the first game. You can just see the confidence level in him rise. And he that boy good. And then when you got that deep, when you got what he's got around him, he real good.
Yeah, man. Like, that team is good. And then Von Miller with his timely sacks. And it's funny how someone says how different you play when you have a lead instead of trying to play from behind. And Von Miller did that a lot with the Broncos in his recent years. So
yeah, especially a defensive end. Defensive end, your main objective is rush the passer. You get the other team behind, and ta-da, that's all you got to do. I listened to the Pivot podcast yesterday with Michael Strahan. He goes, I played the easiest position there was to play. I played defensive end. My job was see ball, get ball. He goes, that was it. Quarterback still had the ball, go get him. They handed it off to the running back, try it. He goes, that's it. That's all I did. He goes, I didn't have to worry about what was going on behind me. All I did was worry about what was going on in front of me. And now Vaughn's like, I ain't got to worry about nothing. I just got to run for it. Because a lot of times in Denver, they play, sometimes with him, they play the 3-4 to where he was playing outside linebacker. He would drop on people. He would try to cover people. Now they got him. They're like, dude, see ball, get ball.
Yeah, man.
That's all he's doing now. That's all he's got to worry about now is just go.
So, yeah, hey, to them, and did you think it was a little bit of the hangover for the Rams, where they just decided they got their rings? Is Sunday we need to worry about the Rams with them going forward, or you know, they still a town football team?
I didn't think it was a hangover. I just think that Buffalo's that good. I just think Buffalo's good. Mm-hmm. I think the Rams are still good. I think when you watch the game, you can see where the Rams got out of sorts on the defense, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where they started playing man up and then switching it around the zone. And then they were getting whooped. And whenever you switch from man to zone, the communication has to be there. If you don't have communication, somebody's going to get toasted. And Jalen Ramsey was getting wore out. Of course, Jalen, you know him. He started pointing the fingers and everything. But when you switch out of zone and man on defense, it throws everything off. I mean, you just play your base defense and go at it and be done with it, and you're better off. And especially against a team like Buffalo, the bad part is you can't play man. Because if you're playing man and you start running with your dude and you got your back turned, Josh Allen's going to take advantage of it, which he did a bunch of times. And I think that's where the shift is. I think that's where the shift when the Rams started playing zone. Then you see people not being in their spots for the Rams and stuff like that, and the Bills taking advantage of it.
Yeah, man, that game just Buffalo. You cut all everything that I was going to say, man. Like that game was just total dominance on Buffalo, man. So they came out fine, and they look like. Everybody would thought like they're Super Bowl favorites. Like, I know a lot of them are overwhelmingly picking them to be Super Bowl favorites, bearing the health, but they look pretty darn good in week one. So
let's not jump the gun on them being Super Bowl favorites, because that team in Kansas City looked really, 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 really good.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it? Pat Mahomes had 5 touchdowns. Is that what the total count was?
It's funny. You watch them play. You watch Kansas City this time. It looked different without Hill, because you didn't see that constant deep ball and everything. But the bad part is now Patrick Mahomes can sit back there and surgically cut and operate on you and take out all your pieces. Like, he was taking out kidneys, hearts, lungs, everything. He was just surgically ripping them apart. And you're like, okay, Pat's just not a I'm going to go deep guy and all that stuff. He's actually pretty damn good at this quarterbacking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. They spanked the crap out of them. So, like you can't another mention Super Bowl favorites, so. Pat Mahomes took off. Travis Kelce looking insane. All the receivers look solid,
remember
man.
What I told you, until you beat him, I'm taking
him. Yeah, that's exactly what you said. So let's speak about the other Super Bowl representative. Cincinnati was in a dogfight with Pittsburgh. That game went to overtime, 23-20. This game had all the drama in it, man. It goes to missed field goals. It goes to botch.
Which was a big thing during week one.
Yeah.
Huge thing.
Yeah, man. So Mr. Trubisky, he managed the game pretty well. You saw Joe Burrow had a rough start. He came back on near the end. And he dropped down the field and put in positions. But when you saw that long snap and it went high, so that's not on McPherson. That's just on the snap. Honestly, and that kid just went so to the left. It was bad, man. Kevin, your thoughts about this upset in week one with Cincinnati? A lot of people think, oh, yeah, they got the offensive line. They added some offensive linemen. The depth, Joe Burrow, you see him side by his progression, the receivers for them, and then they played a tough Pittsburgh team that just came out and got the win.
Cincinnati will be fine. Cincinnati, it was one of those. They've got a lot of expectations riding on them this year. Mm-hmm. So when you come out with that much expectations, you do have a lot of nerves. And then you see what happens when they settle down. Burrow settled down. And not taking anything away from Pittsburgh's defense, because Pittsburgh defense is good, even though it took a big, gigantic hit in this game. But they're still a good defensive team. So they were giving it to them for that game. And it was close. It was just, like I said, it's those little nuances in the game that just throw something off, a missed field goal, a botched snap, something like that. It just throws the whole game off for them. And then it was a battle of, okay, you're going to miss a field goal. We're going to miss one too. And then finally somebody just made one.
Yeah, and there's as far as I heard on TJ Watt's injuries, Kevin mentioned about the defense probably taking a big hit with him. His pectoral, you can saw him in the game, he was pointing at his chest saying my pec muscle. They think it's strained now, so he's not gonna be as long. So that's good news for TJ Watt and that Steelers defense. So
until he goes out there and tries to play with a strain, and then it becomes a full blood
Yeah, exactly. So you hopefully he just heals up.
We've seen people go out and play with string caps, and then all of a sudden their whole leg blow up.
Yeah.
So basketball, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We've seen people go out there, my calf strain, and then your Achilles blows up.
Yeah.
So they gotta take that serious, because a strain pec can turn into a tore pec in a matter of one lift of a weight. So they need to watch that.
Can we discuss about the week one in general? Because a lot of talk is being made of the starting quarterbacks that didn't play in the preseason. Showed up, it was 3-8. What is your whole thoughts about preseason to now, correlation to week one of these first team officers not playing?
I always say you have, like, during the preseason, I don't care if it's just a little bit, you have to get them some game action. Like, you have to. If it's my team, you're playing a little bit. Every game except the last one, you're going to play a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just how I would do it. That's just how I would do it. Because if you go out there and you're scared that somebody's going to get hurt, then guess what? If it's meant for them to get hurt, they're either going to get hurt then or they're going to get hurt later on. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of fact. And if you play scared like that, then people are going to come out showing rust, because you can only do so much during practice. You can't mimic game speed during practice that much, because you're gonna get whacked like you do in a game. Like, they were hitting. Ask Derrick Henry if they've ever been hitting people again. Because he got clobbered. If Derrick Henry ever wanted to feel like what it was like to get hit by Derrick Henry, he got it this week. If somebody hit him like he'd be hitting people.
Yeah.
But no, you definitely got to play some, and you can see it when you play. You kind of got that, unless you're Tom Brady and shit, then you don't have to play at all, because you know it's different when you have seen every single thing in God's green earth about football, and you already know what's going on. Yeah, you don't have to play then, but like Aaron Rodgers and Tom, Aaron looked like he needed to play though. But if you got a younger team and everything, play those guys. Get them as much time in as you can, because they need it.
Yeah. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, that Green Bay and Minnesota game, huh?
That dude got on the sideline. He said, did you see the one thing on Twitter? He's doing the pointing. He's like, you traded, somebody put on top of it, you traded Adams and left me with this shit.
Well, what's so surprising is just their defense, man. Like, they drive all these players in the first round, second round with these picks in the Devontae Adams trade, and here you go. And I'm not taking away anything from Mr. Jefferson, because he's super talented, Justin Jefferson, who got 184 yards. Like, but man, like, nobody could at least put a body on him. Like, this dude.
No, you can't. Because he's gonna get his. The thing is, you have to. He's one of those guys where you have to design the defense around how you're gonna play him. Don't let him eat. Make somebody else do it. Because he went full blown all you can eat buffet on him. And there was nobody around him. I'll make this analogy. There was nobody around him in the buffet line to keep him from snagging up all the crab legs. That boy was snatching.
Oh, all over the place, man. All over the place. Well, my upset that I picked last week on the show, I thought Detroit almost gonna pull it out. But Philly ended up winning 30-35. So, just week one, man. It's any given Sunday with some of these games, man. You just never know. And that was a good game to watch on Red Zone. I had Red Zone up watching that. And I'm like, man, that's a good game to kind of watch. There's a bunch of good games, man. So, your thoughts about
the thing is, there were a lot of good. There were a lot of good bad games. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is a good game. Man, is this shit.
Like San Francisco and Chicago?
Yeah, or Houston and Indianapolis.
That end in the tie. Wow.
You're just week one's always that week of semi-bad football. There's no such thing as bad football because you're still watching football.
Yeah.
But it's that week where you're like, oh my god, these. You get those close games just because people are bad.
Well, I do want to congratulate the Cowboys for being the only team not to score a touchdown this week.
and lose your starting quarterback again.
Oh man, I know. But they projecting that he's going to be out. I know they're saying like 5 to 8 weeks. They thinking like four weeks.
4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I saw. So
4 to 6 weeks. He already got it. Already got it repaired. I think he went in for surgery yesterday. He already got it done. So, yeah, Jerry Jones come out. He's going to miss more time. Dak may miss less time than Jerry would if he got another plastic surgery. So, yeah.
You want to
or talk Tom about- Brady. Because yeah. Tom Brady looked like that mofo has gotten something done to his face.
Oh man, yeah, I don't know what it is, but his face looks more chiseled now. At
the, what's killing me is Giselle is so pissed off that he went back to playing football that she moved down to Miami,
which is crazy, like, right?
She moved into a house in Miami, and people are like, "Oh, she don't need his money. Like, she makes more than he does." So it's like. But she moved down there after that 11-day thing. It just, I don't know, man. Giselle or football? Yeah, I'm going with Giselle.
You want to speak on your team, sir? Jaguars playing?
You unretire. You don't get this no more. Oh, I quit then.
All right, what's your thoughts on your Jacksonville Jaguars?
What did I tell you last week? I want them to look competent.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to look like they actually look like a football team. And at times, they actually look like they a football team. But we had a lead into the fourth quarter, which I don't even know the last time that happened. Well, I know the last time it happened was the Indianapolis game last year. But, like, it was watching. Because, think about it. After the first half, old Jaguar team gets beat, what, 35-10? Like, they don't come out in the second half and play the way they did in the second half. They just get completely annihilated. But they actually stayed in the game this time and made it a contest. Offensive line is still terrible. Like, I don't know what's going on there. The best thing our offensive line does is run the ball. And guess the thing that we've done the least? Run the ball.
Run the ball.
We've always said we don't want Trevor to throw the ball over 40 times. So what do we do our first game out? Even though we're averaging over 7 yards a carry, what's the thing we do? We let him throw the ball 48 times. That's not how this team is going to win football games. You have a two-headed running back monster. That's what you have. Your best player is your running back.
Right.
Your second best player is Christian Kirk, and your third best player is your other running back. You have to get the ball in these guys' hands. James Robinson, not even playing in the preseason, coming back off of an Achilles tear, looked like he did in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he played outstanding. Travis Etienne had 5 carries. That's it. He only had 5 carries, or 4 carries, Cortez. Guess how many yards he averaged per carry?
How many?
11.
So, wow. They went away from that?
So, they went. They didn't even try. Like, they got into the red zone a bunch. Guess how many times they ran the ball into the red zone? Maybe three times. One of them was a touchdown. And that was after the interception from Walker that got them down there. They handed the ball off to James Robinson one time, and he runs it into the end zone for a touchdown. I'm like, come on, man. When you get into the red zone, it's not always about throwing the dang ball all over the place. I know you did that in Philadelphia. Philadelphia didn't have the horses in their backfield that the Jaguars have. They don't have those running backs. You have to get that ball to these guys. Trevor missed some throws. I know. He missed some easy ones. He missed a wheel route to Etienne in the end zone. It should have been a touchdown. Etienne dropped one that was a little high that he had to jump up for. I'm not even sure he would have gotten the end zone when he came down because there was a guy near him. But that one is one other people are counting as a touchdown. And another one that he didn't lead. They said he didn't lead Zay Jones towards the back of the – or the pylon in the back of the end zone enough. So they said he missed that one. One of the biggest gigantic things I see was him having to run for his damn life because the offensive line couldn't block. Cortez, there was a play to where three, the interior of the Jaguars' defensive line were all laying on top of each other.
Oh, wow.
There was no – there was three Jaguars on the ground and one Washington guy on the ground, and the other ones were chasing Trevor. Like, you can't – like, if this guy gets a clean pocket, he can get it. But when you're doing stuff like this behind the line, that is not a very good pass-blocking line. You have to get him on the move. All that stuff we saw in the preseason with them bootlegging him and letting him throw on the run and move the pocket, we didn't get none of that this game. And it was confusing to me why they didn't even do none of it, because they were getting pressure right up the gut. Washington was, because that's where our – on one guard, it was like he didn't even exist. Like, he was terrible. And our as much as we're paying the one tackle and the other tackle is just, run the ball. Just please run the ball. Defense made some boneheaded plays to where we let Washington right back into the game when we had them right where we needed to have them. And they let Carson Wentz just go deep. And I know what happened on the one play. The safety was supposed to be over the top half helping Shaq Griffin, but when he bit on a pump fake, Carson pump fake ever so slightly, and it turned his hips, and then he wasn't able to catch back up when he went deep. And so I saw that one. The other one, the guy literally, I think, faked that he was going to throw an inside route, and our guy turned around the wrong way, and he caught it the other way. So it's just... As well as they played, they did play well on defense. I think they played pretty decent on defense. But offensively, we left some stuff on the table. But, man, I just wish you always have to play to your team's strength. Just play to that strength and do it that way.
Yeah, man.
Run the damn football.
Well, hey, don't feel too bad from going from one team that you're trying to run the football.
Oh, no, hold on. I wasn't done. And then another damn thing. Stop playing the game with these stupid analytics books. These idiots and these analytics. Well, if I go for two here, I improve my chances 0.72% that we might win. That's shit. It's the goddamn NFL. Get points. If you can get points, get the points. Stop going for two here. Stop chasing shit. You're down 14-12 in the second, whatever quarter it was in. You didn't need to try to tie the game up right then. Guess what you do? You kick the damn field goal. You make it 14-13. And you go from there. If you need 2 points later on down the road, go and get it later on down the road if you get there.
Yeah, take the point.
Don't do it now, because guess what? If you lose by one or if you lose by three, you still fucking lost. It doesn't matter if the score is tied 14-14. Yay, you tied the game. Guess what? When they score again, you're still going to have to try to tie the game again. Stop. Chase points. Just take them when you can get them, because they don't come around that often. Like, you don't get a lot of chances at it. Even though we were down there an awful bunch, it left a whole bunch of points on the table. It's analytics is the most frustrating damn thing I have ever seen. Just like last night. Well, our analytics say that he could kick a 40-yard field goal. Guess what? There was a higher percentage of Russell Wilson making a 4th-and-5 than there was of him making that long of a field goal. Russell Wilson on 4th downs of 5 or less made them 56% of the time. If you want to go by your analytics shit, they made him 56% of the time that he's tried it. People from over 60 aren't that good.
Oh, don't get me started in this game, but I go ahead and dive into this game.
Yeah, if your kicker tells you he's good from if you get him to this point, he's good. No, getting 7 more yards. That way you can assure that he's going to be okay with it.
All right.
Trust kickers.
Let me go ahead and break this down. I literally, me and Kevin did a show last week, and we both agreed that, hey, you know, Denver on paper should have won. They obviously got more of the talent, and it is what it is. So, you know, but then I got to thinking more throughout the week. I'm thinking, like, and I told Kevin this on the show, I was like, if they boo him, it's going to rile him. And Kevin's like, nah, they're not going to boo him. What they did.
I can't believe they booed him like they did. They should be. Seattle should be a damn shame to themselves.
This man won you a Super Bowl and got you to 2. And so I just think, I know it was an ugly divorce and the way it ended, but I didn't hear, like, Russell really talking bad about the franchise or anything like that. So I was definitely a little confused about the Bulls. I know Russell is extra sometimes, so the way he was taking him to Denver and how he is, he was just excited for a new opportunity with new teammates. So I get the, you know, the general vibe, you know, he's just a fresh start, see what happens. It's brand new to him. So after being somewhere for almost a decade. But anywho, I told my friends we're going to watch a game of Buffalo Wild Wings. I already told myself, I kind of fear that this game will be closer than what I think it is. I just had that feeling just watching week one. Week one was just all over the place with games. And usually it is, but I had an eerie feeling like Seattle's going to be in this ball game. And if they're in this ball game, they're going to have a chance to win it. And 2 fumbles in the red zone. Okay, I expect Melvin Gordon III to fumble the ball. But my boy Pookie, man. My boy Pookie, man, let me down. And so Denver had 400 total yards of offense to Seattle 275. In the fourth quarter, Seattle had negative 14 total yards. So I'm with Kevin on this. Why in the hell did you not go for it on 4th and 5? And you got 3 timeouts that you could have challenged him, and dared him to get another set of first downs. Mm-hmm. But we wait 35 seconds to call a timeout with 20 seconds left to kick a 64-yard field goal.
Why Peyton Manning is sitting there on the show going, timeout!
Peyton Manning looking disgusted. Shannon Sharp was confused. Like,
I'm always confused.
I'm over here watching this at Buffalo Wild, and looking at my friend looking at me like, they were going to do this. I'm like, I can't believe it. I said, Brandon McManus, I love the kid. I love him, man. He's, you know, one of my favorite kickers in Denver history, man. Like, he's a bundle of joy to follow on Twitter, and he apologized. It wasn't his fault, man. I don't care what that wasn't his fault, man. And you paid Russell Wilson over $200 million.
You paid him $250 million to play quarterback.
To play quarterback. You don't have Teddy Bridgewater. You don't have Drew Lock. You don't have Trevor Siemian. You don't have these other quarterbacks here. You got a dynamic quarterback that has been known to drive down the field and make game-winning plays and lead game-winning drives. But we put it in our kicker's hands. Instead of the guy, we pay all this money, and we have seen the odds that showed us that he has led his team down the field, and we kick a 64-yard field goal. Nathaniel Hackett, what happened, man? What happened, man?
But you have a rookie coach. And therein lies where Russell needed to bow up and be like, no, we're going for it. The odds of me making this is way better than him making this kick. And I know you want to have confidence in your kicker, but you're a rookie head coach. You have to trust the veteran guys that are on your team, especially when you've been an offensive coordinator and you know what's going on. You have to trust. You have to put your trust in your best player's hand. And your best player is your quarterback. You got the trust in his hand. Let him do what he was going to do. Because I guarantee you, this is exactly what would have happened if he would have went for it. He would have went for it. He wouldn't have found anybody. He would have ran for 8 yards. First down.
Yeah. Kevin, you have one of the best route runners. I mean, up-and-coming route runners in Jerry Jeudy. And he was having a heck of a game that game. You got K.J. Hamler, who's pretty fast. You can't tell me you can use one of them guys. You got Courtland Sutton, who can jump up and get the ball.
You have Russell Wilson, who can literally walk for 5 yards.
Right. Like,
this all goes down to you have the better player. Use him. Like, just use your quarterback and let him do what he does best. We see him do some spectacular shit. And instead, you let him milk the clock down and kick a field goal. Rookie coach, man. Rookie coach.
If
I was Russell, I'd be, dude, let me do it. I would have called. If I was Russ, I would have just called the timeout as soon as the third down that play happened. And it went over and talked. Because you had 3 timeouts. You can't take them anywhere with you. Even if you were going to kick the field goal, call the damn timeout.
And then he proceeds to use timeouts when the Seattle Seahawks start taking a knee to end the game. What?
You call that timeout. You look at Russ and you go, Russ, can you make it? And Russ goes, yes. And then you do it that way.
Kevin, this is the vision that we come on a show already talking about the AFC West, that is going to be a gauntlet. These are games that are out of your division. You cannot lose. You cannot lose to the Seattle Seahawks. I understand all the emotion was there, and I had this feeling that they was going to get rattled when Russell Wilson didn't get the reception that he think he deserved. It's loud in there. This fan is this. The way these guys were talking on Twitter, the Seattle's Twitter, I knew this was coming. I knew it was Kevin. Like, no, they booed. They booed the crap out of this, man.
And then here you go. You got Kansas City still in your division. They ain't going nowhere. Nowhere. Then you have San Diego. Los Angeles. The San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles. That's what I'm calling them from now.
There you go.
They ain't going nowhere but up. And then you got Las Vegas, who they're going to end up being pretty good.
Yeah,
and
then they got you.
Yeah.
That was a good game between them and the Chargers.
Exactly. That was a very good game. Y'all got to get your shit together.
And fast. Fast.
And the bad part, though, is that rookie head coach. Your team is great, but your head coach has to make these decisions, but he has to trust his players. It was like he didn't trust anybody to do anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Besides the one guy you do not trust in today's NFL is the guy he put trust in. Like, in today's NFL, you do not trust the kicker to do anything right for you. Trust your best player and let him go out and win the damn game for you.
I agree 100%, man. All right, let's make
Because there was no analytics that said he was going to make a 64-yard field goal. And if there was, that's another reason why you needed to throw analytics out the fucking window.
Oh, man, that was absolutely...
If you can't tell, I do not like analytics whatsoever.
He's very vocal about it. All right, let's go ahead and pick these games, and then we'll talk a little bit about college football. Thursday game is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Fucking Thursday.
The Chargers versus the Chiefs.
Oh, my God. This game better not suck. Hey. It's in Kansas City, isn't it?
It is in Kansas City. And this is on Prime TV.
Prime! So if y'all don't have Prime, tough shit. If y'all don't have Prime, don't ask me for my password to watch the game. I think already 5 people are watching it anyway, so.
There it is.
I'm going to take Kansas City. Especially because it's in Kansas City. Yep, even if it was in And even if it was in LA, it would still be in Kansas City.
It's going to be a shootout, though. This is going to be a high scoring game. Start all your fantasy players on this game.
Hopefully, it's going to be that like that game they had before.
Yeah.
Where the ball just never hit the ground and it just went back and forth.
Keenan Allen's unlikely to play that game, too. That just popped up on my ticker. So.
Yeah, he's out with a hamstring.
Yep, so. All right.
If I make fantasy, they probably got a hamstring this week.
Yeah. All right. Your Sunday slate of games, the Jets versus the Browns.
I'm gonna take the Browns.
Battle the backup quarterbacks, huh?
Yeah, this is gonna suck.
Yeah, I'm going to Browns. They're at home. That's no way to pick around that game.
And they can run the ball.
Yeah. The Washington Commanders. Commanders. versus the Detroit Lions. And Detroit is at home.
It's at Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'm going to do what you did last week. I'm going to take Detroit.
You know what? I'm going with Detroit, too. They're going to get it. They're going to get one. So, they played tough last week, so I think they can pull this one out of home here. All right. Tampa Bay Bucks at – ooh, it's going to be a good one. The Bucks at the Saints.
At the Saints, I'm going to take the Saints.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did pick the Saints to win the division.
At the Saints.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Bucks. I'm going to get the Bucks this one. Tom Brady and crew, he's still getting the ball out under 2 seconds around that thing, so you got to get to him. And that's one thing he does well. Me and Kevin talked about he gets the ball out quick, so we'll see if no one can get to him. All right, the Carolina Panthers at the New York Giants.
I'm going to take the Panthers.
All right, I'm wrong with the G-Man. I think the Giants going to get it. Saquon Barkley going to eat again, so should be a fun game, though. The Patriots at the Steelers. This is in Pittsburgh.
Steelers are down a few players. I'm going to take the Steelers.
I'm wrong with the Steelers, too. Yeah, they're going to go 2-0. I think they're going to be – New England could be kind of rough, but I got the Pittsburgh winning this one here. All right, the Colts versus the Jaguars.
Well, it is in Jacksonville. And we all know they hate playing in Jacksonville. It's going to pain me to say.
I'm going to take the Jags. I don't know. Kevin, you're right. I don't know what it is with Indy and Jacksonville. They struggle down there, man.
They struggle anytime they play them. Even up there, they struggle. Even over shit, they struggle.
Yeah. So, no, I got Jacksonville on this one. The Dolphins at the Ravens. Oh, this is going to be a good game.
I'm going to take the Ravens because they're at home.
That's going to be a leaning factor for me, too. Yeah, they're at home right now. But it'll be a dang good game, man. All right. The Falcons at the Los Angeles Rams.
Rams will bounce back.
Here's an intriguing game. Seattle at San Francisco.
San Francisco bounces back. They're not playing in a fucking mud puddle.
I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. I think they're going
to
pull it out.
Give the damn ball to Debo Moore. Holy shit.
Yeah, they need to. I don't know, man.
What they really need to do is take Trey Lance and put him on a bench and put Garoppolo back in.
If they lose this game, they're going to be asking questions.
If you had anybody else's backup besides Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd say start the rookie. If you have a good team and you have a guy that's took you to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl, you play him. I don't care. If you're not going to do anything with him, then fucking play him. If you're not wanting to trade him or anything like that, then let him play. Because Trey Lance is not going to be ready.
as it's been reported that, you know, it's been reported that Trey Lance wasn't too pleased about Jimmy Garoppolo's extension back with the team. So he needed to focus on his play.
Of course he wasn't.
He needed to focus more on his play than worry about somebody else's contract extending, because right now it's, the water's kind of boiling right now.
The thing is, he's got that shit in the back of his head.
Yep.
So now he's continuously thinking, well, I got to play perfect in order for me to keep my job. Well, you should have been thinking that way anyway, but now you really got to think that way.
Agreed. 41%, man. All right, next game, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Dallas Cowboys.
Bengals.
Cincinnati bounces back. They'll bounce back. The Texans at the Broncos. Broncos at the home game. They probably look pissed off about last week.
Better stop Davis Mills.
I see the Broncos bouncing back here.
I'll take the Broncos.
Yeah, they'll bounce back. They don't bounce back. Just find me crying somewhere in a puddle.
They don't bounce back. We're writing them off after 2 weeks.
Yeah, yep. You already know how that goes. All right, the Cardinals at the Las Vegas Raiders.
I'm taking the Raiders.
Yep, Raiders will bounce back. That was a good game they had against the Los Angeles Chargers.
I do not like anything about the Cardinals. Until Hopkins comes back, I
know you're skeptical. I think they're going to bounce back, but they're going to have a rough start here.
Just don't see they just get on my nerves.
All right. Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, Jesus. Is it snowing yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Chicago got a chance here.
I'll take the Packers.
Well, as I say, you got a chance.
Just because they
at home. Yeah, I say that, but I'm still picking the Packers. All right, we have two Monday night games.
Hey! They saved it for week two.
They wanted the whole Russell show to get the attention. So, and by the way the game went, the Raiders, I'm pretty sure, because it was a close game. Yeah, I guess they got the raise on that one. But anywho, two Monday night games for week two. Tennessee is on the road going to Buffalo. Oh, boy.
Buffalo.
And then your second game is the Minnesota Vikings at Philadelphia Eagles. This is on ABC, 8:30.
I'm going to roll with the Vikings.
All right. I'm going to go with the Eagles. The Eagles will get this one. All right, let's move over to college football.
Got to cover Justin Jefferson. Good luck.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, we got 45 minutes. Kevin, let's make it quick about college football.
That whole weekend sucked. There we go.
You was at the game, and Anthony Richardson, man, you say he got hurt. Is that what happened?
He got hurt the second play of the game. Second play of the game, he got his ankle or something happened to him, and he was limping noticeably throughout the game, even though you didn't really see it through the TV, but he was noticing, he was noticeably limping on the sidelines and everything. He didn't try to show it on the field, but you could see it, and people were, I was like, did y'all see he got hurt? Even my mom saw that he got hurt, and she wears glasses, and we were sitting at the top of the damn stadium. And I was like, the way it just got nonchalantly said, but I think it took a lot out of the playbook for the Gators to where they didn't want to run the ball. I know when they were coming into the game, they didn't want to run a lot because they said Kentucky's secondary was their weakness. Mm-hmm. But still, in order to make him comfortable and in order to get him into the flow of the game, you have to run the football. Again, they ran the football for 8 yards a carry, and they just didn't do it. Like, they stopped doing it and tried to go throw heavy. When your identity is running the football, you have to keep doing it. I don't care what you think the other team's weakness is. And we were talking about it in the stands with somebody that was sitting next to me. He goes, well, they saw something on film. I said, I don't care what they saw on film. That's not your identity. Your identity is not to have a guy in his third start go out and try to throw the ball 35 times. That's not their identity. Their identity is running the football, either with the quarter or they're playing zone. I don't care. Run the football. You run the football, it sucks everybody in.
Right.
Then it opens up the little passing lanes behind them. You can get the ball to your running back. You can do whatever. Use your best assets. And they didn't do it. And you see what ended up costing them. Even though they play like shit, they only lost by 6 points because of an interception return for a touchdown. That somehow always happens in Kentucky games that they get some fluke shit.
Kentucky has been getting our number the last few years, man. It's ridiculous.
Kentucky's been winning the games on fluke things every freaking year, and it's been getting on my damn nerve. And the defense played really good.
Yeah.
Like the defense played completely opposite of what they did in week one. Somebody on one of our radio stations were like, well, Kentucky in the second half on offense just came out and did their will. And one guy looked at him and goes, what are you talking about? He was like, no, they didn't. He was like, Kentucky didn't do anything. Kentucky scored a touchdown on offense because they got the ball right there. He was like, Kentucky's offense didn't do anything. They only ran the ball for 70 yards on 30-something carries. Kentucky's offense didn't do anything. Florida gave that game to Kentucky again. Just like they did last year. They gave it to them again.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was beyond ridiculous, man. So, let's talk about...
See, I kind of get over it, and then you have to bring it all back up.
I'm sorry. You know, we got at least...
My favorite part of the whole weekend is Appalachian State going up there and putting a whooping on the Fighting Jimbos.
Yeah, that was an upset. Notre Dame got upset against Marshall.
Yeah, that was another one I loved.
Alabama.
I like Notre Dame a lot.
Alabama escaped Texas with an atrocious call. What the heck was that, man?
Yeah.
What the heck was that call? That was atrocious. That call was.
It was bad. I saw some bad calls in the Florida game, and that one was That one was probably the worst call I seen all game long or all weekend long.
Oh, ridiculous, man! But yeah, man. So what you think of Florida? They got USF. I'll be at the game next week. What do you think about Florida?
Going?
I'll be there.
We going.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we going again.
I don't know. I've seen
it. Yeah, Austin and Crystal are coming up, and we're going down there.
Nice, man. That's what's up. Well, I'll see y'all there. So
I know where to find you at, though. I don't even got to worry about it. All I got to do is go to that sausage and Philly cheesesteak place that's right across right across from the swamp, and you'll be standing over there. So I never
really
find you
either. Definitely, man. I mean, I was some friends. I guess we're getting like a booth. They're gonna be having like drinks and food in there and all that stuff. One of the friends got it up there. Yeah. So it's gonna be pretty cool.
You're sitting in a booth?
Yeah.
You're sitting in a suite.
Yes, yeah, we're going over there in the suite, and then they got
fuck you.
One of my friends got I guess his buddy got a hookup with that, so yeah. Nonetheless, I think that game we'll get back on track. Hopefully, Anthony Richmond, this injury should everything should be back intact, so let's see us bouncing back that game.
Well, hopefully, they just do what they should do on USSF and just run the damn football right down their throat and completely just take souls. Because that's what Florida has to do. Florida has to run the ball and take your soul. That's what this team is built upon. It's eerily similar to the Jaguars and the Gators. Almost should have the same exact game plan. Because you got a quarterback who at times can hit some big plays, but also at times can miss the easy ones. And once you put that running game into play, it makes him a little more comfortable and it makes that defense a little more subjective, and you get those lanes to where you can throw the ball over the top and hit some plays.
Yeah.
Even though Florida really doesn't have an over the top deep ball threat, but you've got threats everywhere, especially in the backfield, and they can catch the balls too. I'm still telling you, Trevor Etienne is going to be a damn good football player.
I'm excited to see his progression, man. I am.
Oh, that boy! That boy's gonna be good. And I'm thinking about. I don't know if Austin doesn't listen to the show. I'm thinking about they do things at the end of the game, like swamp moments they call them. Mm-hmm. And you gotta buy them. They like they give you a free swamp moment, but you gotta buy them. I might buy the one where we go down on the field after the game and throw the football around.
Oh, that's cool, man. That'd be cool. You'll love that.
It's not sitting in the damn suites and shit, but it's.
let's pick a couple of these games, man, and then I know it's something to have an NBA, so we'll discuss that. Number one, Georgia's at South Carolina.
Georgia's going to whack South Carolina. South Carolina's the most overrated fucking team there is. I don't know why. You know, just because they got Spencer Rattler. He got benched at Oklahoma, who played terrible.
Right.
That's all you needed to say.
speaking of Oklahoma, number six, Oklahoma at the Scott Frostless Nebraska.
Ugh, God, no. Oklahoma's going to Nebraska.
Yep. UConn at number four, Michigan.
Michigan
yeah. Did that one, yeah.
Playing UConn for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. Number 12, BYU at number 25, Oregon. Oregon's at home.
I think BYU might get them.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah. Every day the Mormon.
Ask Zach Wilson about him.
Exactly.
Number 20, Ole Miss at Georgia Tech.
Oh, Ole Miss will get them.
Mm-hmm. Number 22, Penn State.
Which one is? The big one's Texas A&M against Miami.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There it is right there. Oh, that's going to be a good one.
That's
number 13 and number 24.
It's going to be a good game, but both of them aren't impressive. Miami dancing on 2-0 over who?
FAMU and somebody else.
Exactly. There was more people. Here's the bad part about Miami. There was more people on the sidelines than there was in the stands for Miami.
Yeah.
Like, Miami can talk all the shit they want to about being 2-0 and blah, blah, blah and all that shit. But damn, man, y'all support. I don't know how y'all are paying people $7 million when you ain't even got nobody showing up to the game.
Ooh, and they're playing at A&M.
This is that show me game for A&M. Like, you just got whooped by Appalachian State. If Miami loses to Texas A&M, ooh boy.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm going with A&M though. I think A&M's gonna get it.
Me too. They got that.
They got on their shoulder. Well, not even a chip. They got a whole boulder on their shoulder right now.
It still kills me, though, that Summerlin has a better record at Texas A&M or had a better record at Texas A&M than Jimbo does.
Yeah. All right, Kevin. Let's get into this, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Jimbo ain't got no QB no more. We saw what happens when Jimbo has no QB. James asked for the whole time he was at FSU.
Damn, get ugly, man. All right, so Kevin, Shams tweeted out the NBA has suspended Suns owner Robert Sarver for 1 year from the Suns and Mercury organization based on league investigation. Sarver has been fined $10 million and complete training program focused and respect on appropriate workplace conduct. Key findings that NBA says Robert Sarver said the N-word at least five times when recounting statements of others. Made sex-related inappropriate comments about physical appearance of females, inappropriate physical conduct towards men, engaged in harsh treatment. Thoughts on Robert Sarver?
We already kicked one old white man out for that shit. kick out another one. People send me saying shit. Why can't put up?
Why did he get 1 year? When the other guy that did this, and it was on video documentation, they kicked him out of the league.
Exactly. I don't know. Unless he's got something on somebody. I don't know why they only gave him 1 year. Unless they're doing more investigating.
There's two things here. You have a women's basketball team, and then you have an NBA team. Both teams would consist of majority African-Americans. And then you got sexual conduct accusations going around here, which they just find that it is misconduct, so it is obviously happening. How are you still able to keep this basketball team when there's been... Kevin, this isn't the first time we heard about Sarver having issues with this. This has been duly noted for like almost a decade with this stuff.
I think that what they're doing is they did the year thing, but then it's one of those things that within that year, they're going to be telling, hey, dude, it's... to go ahead and get your shit in order and kind of get your stuff out your office and go your separate ways. I think the year is so he can get the affairs in order and they can move on from him. You know what I mean?
I hope that's the case, because how does it work out telling a billionaire what to do?
Yeah, no, it never does. They've been trying to tell Mark Cuban to do shit for years. And he don't listen. But the good part with Mark, though, is he don't do shit like this.
No.
He just does hilarious, fun shit.
And yeah. No, he's a fan. So he does dumb stuff on the sideline because he's a fan. And like,
but he's also voiced his opinion on a lot of shit. But you never hear anything bad coming out about Mark Cuban doing something stupid.
No.
Like, you hear him doing stupid when it comes to talking bad about the NBA or something like that because the rest are stupid. Which we all do, but you never hear him do anything stupid. No, none of the real owners, you hear about doing something stupid until something like this comes up.
Yeah.
The one dude from the Clippers, he got completely blindsided by that girl doing this shit, but we knew he was a racist old fuck anyway. So, yeah. Like, and that girl just sold his ass down the fucking river.
Yeah.
And she was like, "You wanna play this shit with me? Oh, okay. Well, guess what I got on you?" But this, I think it's, look, we're going to give you a year, get your shit in order while you're away so you can gradually move on. You know what I mean? And hopefully that's the case. Because if it's not the case, they're going to face a huge backlash when he comes back.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be huge, man. But yeah, news dropped. I just want to get your thoughts on it right quick. And I'm with you, man. He needs to be gone. And hopefully that's what you are described there. They give him a year, try to find somebody that want to replace it, to be as the owner.
Yeah, dude.
And do his thing and kind of just get him out of there. Hopefully that's the move.
Well, already some people wanted to buy the team already.
Yeah.
Just sell the shit now.
Just sell it now. While they're up and there. This is a dang good team. So is the Mercury. They're a dang good team.
You can do it now while they're at their peak. They're riding high. You can get as much profit. You get out of it, and you can get yourself out of all this trouble and shit, and just go away. It's the perfect combo of being able to just get rid of it and get out of there. And you already got people that want to buy it. Just sell it. Get the hell out of there while you can. There's an old saying: getting out when the getting's good. The getting's really good right about now.
Yeah, I agree, my man. But I've got some discipline, but you know, there need to be more ramifications. So, kind of like a little poop stain to drop at the end of the show, but hey, it is what it is.
Now we don't care about it. Just wipe them off and go on.
Yeah, exactly.
And all right, take your drawer
in the freaking washing machine, or we wipe our ass.
All right, sir. Anything else you'd like to add? I think we're good.
I'm just kind of pissed off you sitting in a fucking suite and don't even bother to ask a brother if they want to sit in the suite or not.
I got told about this, man. It wasn't my doing. They had the ticket, so. But hey, they let people in. I'll let you know.
How the hell are you even getting off at 7 anyway, or getting off on a Saturday anyway?
We already had this plan. Yeah, my buddy hit me up about a month ago, let me know that they was going to the Gators USF game, and then I got informed this week. Oh yeah, my buddy got a hookup where we're getting a suite and we're eating food. I'm like, I ain't saying no to that.
Well, here's what you does your buddy a hookup for three more freaking people to come in and eat food as well?
I will see.
Or usually take some food out of the suite. If y'all were in that suite and they got the new Steve Spurrier beer in the suite, which I know they're going to, bring a brother one of those. That's all I want.
I got you, my man.
Because I want the can and I want to taste it. It's cool. It has head beer coach written on it. Nice, 1960. Man. I want one of those.
All right. I got you. All right, guys. Make sure y'all stay tuned. Me and Kevin next week.
Y'all heard him, right? He said, I got you. Yeah. Now, next week, I'm going to be like, where the fuck is my can?
I'm going to try, man. I'm going to try. So, all right, guys. Make sure you stay tuned. Next week, we'll be doing this as well, following up with the NFL and NCAA football, college football. Catch up on that stuff. You can follow the Twitter page. We're at BIOC Podcast. I'm at End of Mind of CP.
Kevin C. 2415.
Instagram is also BIOC Podcast. You can go to Balls Not Court on Facebook. Type in Balls Not Court Podcast there. Balls Not Court. You can go to anchor.fm, Cortez-Paul.
End of Mind. Should we change it to Balls in the Court just so it's bitch?
I'm good. NMICP.podbean.com. That's pretty funny, but I can't do that. And yeah, that should do it. So,
go to at bitch.
We are on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Windows, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, and many other sites as well. Kevin, like to say.
Remember you listened to us before?
Go back there again as well. Need to get on YouTube.
I do put stuff on YouTube as well. I just it's common. I got to formulate some stuff over there and put some graphics in. That's why I bought this whole Adobe Creative Suite. So things are in the works.
Gonna see my face.
Alright guys, thanks for listening. Kevin's right there trying to make the breakfast there, so thanks for having me. We'll see you next week.
See you.